Next on BYUSN, we're just 12 days away from BYU football season opener. Who's going to start at quarterback? Will BYU finish in the top 10 in the Big 12? We're going to play Fact or Fiction. And is running back LJ Martin healed up? Will he be ready for Southern Illinois? We're going to ask him.
Women's cross country coach Diljeet Taylor is back from coaching the Cougars at the Olympics. How was that? Plus, is her roster ready to defend BYU's Big 12 championship? And on the heels of what Patrick Mahomes did over the weekend, we asked the question, what's the best trick play in BYU football history?
I hope you threw a behind-the-back pass.
I never have.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation. I'm Dave McCann. He's Blaine Fowler. We're interchangeable. We've been doing that for a long time. Monday, August 19th. So we've been working this beat for like three decades, more than three decades.
Yeah,
you believe that?
We haven't been on this desk. You know, we've been on a lot of shows together over the years. Thousands, literally.
Yeah.
Thousands, right?
Yeah.
And we've probably called 1,000 live events together. But we haven't been on this desk since, we were just trying to figure this out, maybe since the Miami Beach Bowl brawl.
Remember that? Yeah. The brawl.
Right after that, we had to cover that here at the desk. So.
Our desk was sitting over there at the time, but
yeah.
We've seen and done a lot, and then every now and then we see something we haven't seen.
Yeah, we've never seen anything like what we saw last night in the Saints 49ers game. How about this? Did you ever think we would see this? Taysom Hill and Jamal Williams in the same backfield, but not as quarterback and running back. They're starting at fullback and halfback together in the same backfield. Are you kidding me?
There were some really cool pictures on social media of those two lined up in that formation, and you just go, what?
Yeah. First of all, we all thought that Taysom was going to be a quarterback in the NFL. We knew he was a freak athlete.
Yeah.
And then he became the most versatile player in the NFL, period. Maybe in NFL history, really. I mean, there are people going, this guy should be a Hall of Famer. And he has a limited role, but that limited role is play pretty much every position but offensive line on offense. And so now that we heard during camp, mostly through our buddy Dave Nixon, who's Taysom's brother-in-law, that they were playing a bunch of fullback.
Yeah.
To see those two together, after we watched them be in the same backfield at BYU, in the same backfield at fullback and running back at tailback in the pros was a pretty cool thing.
We've now seen everything. And he scored a touchdown at fullback.
That's right.
All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
This team is built different.
Can BYU get to the 30s and 40s? That's a good indicator of where BYU might be offensively.
We're pretty deep at running back. I think our offensive line is going to be retooled.
We're going to get more sacks. We're going to get more interceptions, more turnovers, more stops.
That's a lot of more. Just 12 days from BYU kicking off the season against Southern Illinois. So we're going to play a game today. One, because we're here,
right,
and it's Monday. So our game is called Fact or Fiction.
Right.
We'll roll out a statement, and then we'll answer fact or fiction, and then give our reasons why.
Right.
Does that sound good?
I like it.
Let's start with this one. BYU will start Gary Bohannon at quarterback against Southern Illinois. Fact or fiction?
Before I even answer this, we've got to make sure everybody understands. This is our opinion right now as things stand today. I'm going to say fact. Gary Bohannon is going to start at quarterback against Southern Illinois. Here's my reasoning behind this. When they came out of spring ball, like, me, along with everybody else, wrote Gary Bohannon off. Arm's not healthy. He can't make the throws he used to make. This is Jake Retzlaff's job, period. Then he went and had a stem cell therapy on his shoulder, comes back, his shoulder's full go, and now there's been a legitimate quarterback competition. And through the scrimmage on Saturday, neither has separated themselves. So it's not like, oh, yeah, this is so obvious as Jake. This is so obvious as Gary. So here's why I say fact. If they're even... You got Gary Bohannon, who's 225, 230 pounds, that can run like a crazy man and make plays with his feet and move the chains.
Yeah.
If there's no separation, you go with a guy that's played more P4 games and can really move the ball with his feet. And so I say fact, unless something changes dramatically, he turns the ball over a bunch this week in practice.
I talked to Jake after practice the other day. He's doing well. They're both competing. You know, it's still any man's game, but I believe fact. I believe it.
You believe fact as well.
Gary Bohannon against
And we both agree this is a fact. You got to have two guys.
Yeah, and sometimes three.
BYU has needed two, for sure. Pretty much everyone has. Okay, so now my question for you.
Okay.
Will BYU score 35 points? BYU, this is the statement, I guess, because you have to say fact or fiction.
Right.
BYU will score 35 points or more in the season opener against the Salukis. Fact or fiction?
Well, I'm going to say fact. And I preface that by saying they scored 14 last year against Sam Houston. And Southern Illinois, defense is their thing, right, at the FCS level. So they're not coming in ready to get mowed down. The strength of their team is playing defense. But BYU is so ticked off from last year's offensive output, averaging 21 points a game, and then 14 against Sam Houston. That offensive line is going to use the 31st to show that we're new and improved, and T.J. Woods is the difference maker as the new coach. Running backs are healthy. They weren't healthy against Sam Houston, remember? Aiden Robbins had a broken rib. We didn't know it at the time, but we were just wondering, why can't he run? So I'm going to say they come out and they put points on the board for a variety of reasons. They've got to prove to themselves they can do it. They got to show 60,000-plus fans in the stadium they can do it. You got to show the rest of the country they can do it. And they got to show Wyoming and SMU that they can do it.
Okay, we're going to agree on everything. We didn't decide together, by the way. I'm going to agree with you. I think they're going to go over 35 for a lot of the reasons you state, but also because the defense this year is so much improved. I think they're going to give this offense some short fields and create some turnovers. And this offense has had to go against this defense in every practice this year. So my opinion is, in that first game, it's going to feel like a break for the BYU offense. They're going to go, wow, we're better than we thought we were. Maybe the defense is really good on the other side of the ball for us. And so I'm saying, I'm with you. I think it'll go 35-plus in that first.
Here's another one. Folks at home, shout out at your TV or radio and participate with us. BYU will win at least 3 straight games at some point in the season. Fact or fiction?
Fact. And this is the one that people are going to go, are you out of your mind? They're going to start 3-0.
3-0.
And the game, here's what's funny. In ESPN's win, you know, predictor, guess what game they, like, the FPI has the SMU is the toughest game on the schedule. The least chance for BYU to win, they think, is at SMU. Now, remember, that predictor changes as the season goes on, right? Yeah. So this is as it stands right now. I just think BYU is going to play with such a chip on their shoulder. You make the biggest improvement from week 1 to week 2. BYU is deeper, more physical. They have experience at positions where they were brand new last year. They're healthy at running back. You know, knock on, this is glass, but can we count that? Knock on glass. That they stay healthy. I just think BYU is going to go into that game on the road at SMU with a chip on their shoulder. I think they're going to come out. I think they start 3-0. Now, I don't know what happens after that when they get into league play. But I say yes, 3 straight, and it's those first 3.
I'm going to say fact, but there's 2 windows. There's the first 3, or there's the last 3, which is Kansas at home, at Arizona State, and Houston at home. So they have a chance to grab 3 on the backside or 3 up front in a row. I think it's the best chance of getting 3 in a row. And you know what? They're going to get those last 3 if they're having a good season. And they're going to get those first 3 because they're healthy out of the gate. I mean, their best chances of. So I think I'm going to go with fact on that. The fact that they'll at some point have a 3-game winning streak.
Okay. All right. Well, here's the next question. Okay. And this is pivotal because you remember that we sat down with T.J. Woods and he told us, and Aaron Roderick told you independently of that, that for them to be good this year on offense, they have to average over 4 yards a carry. So this past season, they averaged 3.46 yards per carry. Not good.
No.
Over 4 is the goal. So the thing is, the statement is, BYU will rush for over 4 yards a carry this season. Fact or fiction?
They got a lot of tough defenses they're going to face. But I was talking to Harvey Unga after practice a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about this, 3.5 yards per carry last year. And he looked at me and goes, how hard is it to get 4 yards?
For Harvey, it was easy.
He took 2 steps. He goes, look at this. 1, 2. That's 4 yards. I tell my guys, if we can't get 4 yards, then we shouldn't be on the field. So I believe that this running back room is motivated. They're healthy, including this guy right here we're going to hear from in just a few minutes with LJ. But the motivation is such that we expect to see a 100-yard rusher on August 31st, but we certainly expect to see 4 yards a carry or more if they're going to be successful. And if they're not, if they're still back to 3.5 or less, that's not good. That's not good for this season. That's not good for some coaches currently coaching. That I think is the problem to go fix. They spent all offseason trying to fix it. Mm-hmm. If you can fix it, you move on and start doing other things. If you can't fix it, then you have a whole new set of problems.
Yeah. So I'm going to agree with that. that if they average under 3.5 yards a carry, then maybe the win predictor of 4.5 or that over-under of wins that Vegas set is on target.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if it's fact or fiction. I let you answer it, but I'm going to tell you this: what you said is fact. If they don't average 4 yards a carry, they're in trouble. So.
All right, here's one for you. BYU's defense will be ranked in the top four in the Big 12 in total defense at the end of the year. Fact or fiction? And as you mull that over, BYU was 11th in total defense in the Big 12 last season. Will they be ranked in the top four in the Big 12? Fact or fiction?
This is a tough one. I'm going to say fact, and here's why. I feel like even though they finished 11th last year, part of it was down the stretch, the offense was so anemic, they were just on the field for too many snaps. I think the run game is going to be better this year. I think they'll play a little more ball control this year, which is going to put the defense in a better position. And it's year two under Jay Hill. Jay Hill notoriously has put nationally ranked defenses on the field. He's got guys that have been in the system now. They've recruited some new guys. I mean, somebody that pops to the top of my head is Jack Kelly at linebacker, who may be the best player on the defense. So the new faces aren't new to the system. Collins at corner, Jack Kelly at linebacker. So everybody else has been in the system at least 1 year. Those guys have been in the system multiple years. For that reason, I think they're in the top four in total defense.
Okay.
What do you think?
I'm going to put a little asterisk there. If they're healthy, then they got a shot. That's so much room to jump from where they were last year. But that's where they have to jump to be competitive and get into the postseason.
I feel like they have to be lights out on defense. Okay, here's another one. BYU will have a 500 or better record in home games against preseason ranked teams. So they play four teams ranked in the top 20 preseason. They beat two of those four or more? Fact or fiction? The fact is they're 500 or better. Fact or fiction?
I'm going to say fact because 2-2 gets you to 500.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go fact on that. That's a tough home slate, but I'll go back to what we've been saying on our shows. If you can win two, why can't you win three? If you can beat Kansas State and Oklahoma State, why can't you beat Arizona and Kansas? So it's really kind of a feast or famine almost. If you're good enough to beat Kansas State in the Big 12 home opener, then you look at the rest of the schedule and go, why shouldn't we beat them? Kansas State's picked to win the league or be second in the league, depending on who you look at. So I think fact, they go at least 2-2 against those Big Four in their own stadium. What do
so
you think?
The Kansas State, Arizona, Oklahoma State, Kansas, number 18, 21, 17, 22. None of them are top 10 teams in the preseason.
No.
I'm with you. I think BYU is really good at home. It's one of the toughest schedules because of who they play in the league. But isn't it fortunate that of the five preseason ranked teams they play, four of those are at home. I say they get two of those four, and that launches them into a bowl. So
we haven't had any fictions, but there you see the schedule. Yeah. Kansas is in November. You know, might be a little chilly out this way.
Yeah, yeah.
Never know what time of day you're going to play that one. But you got Kansas State early when BYU's typically healthy, at least coming out of the independence years. Hopefully they'll be healthy all year long. Oak State's in there, and it's going to be an interesting ride.
The FPI says Arizona's the best chance of those four ranked teams at just under 34% winning percentage chance based on preseason. But
right.
If BYU goes 3-0 in the preseason and beats SMU on the road, those numbers will change.
Here we go, fact or fiction. The BYU-Utah game will be decided in the final 2 minutes on November 9th up in Salt Lake. Fact or fiction?
This is my first fiction. Because I think by that time, either Cam Rising has stayed completely healthy and he's old, he's his old self.
Yeah.
And Utah has a big-time upper hand on BYU and the game's in hand by middle of the fourth quarter. Or he's not the Cam Rising that he was. And BYU out-physicals him and BYU's ahead in the fourth quarter. I'm putting it on one guy. On Cam Rising.
All your chips are going on the Rising.
But I think it's going to be one or the other. I don't know. I don't think this is one of those down-to-the-wire two-minute games. I think it's in the middle of the fourth quarter, one team's up by 10 and they hold on.
Last time BYU went up there, it was Becta Harlene.
Right.
It could be Bohannon to Hill if you're looking for another B and H connection in 2024. Last time they met, BYU dominated the line of scrimmage and beat them here in 2021. So that'll be interesting. All right.
Okay. Well, this question,
our last one.
It's more of a statement, not really a question, right? So BYU will finish in the top 10 of the Big 12 standings and go to a bowl game. Fact or fiction? This is a big all-encompassing question. All the things that you said fact to so far, tell me, I should know what you're going to say on this.
Well, yeah, if you go with the facts, right, then...
If they average more than 4 yards a carry, if they're in the top four defensively,
if they've gone 2-2 at home, at least,
right,
against the Big Four, then we've thought all along, I'd say fact, that they're going to get bowl eligible. 6 wins gets you into the postseason. We think that 7, I think 7 is a possibility. You've got to play well. I mean, it's not fantasy land. You've got to go outplay these teams. You know, we're sitting 5-2, and then the health bug hit, and they didn't win again last season. So they went out and increased their depth. Did they increase enough depth? We're going to find out midway through when guys start getting banged up. But I think postseason, 6-7 wins. And again, we'll go back to the theme. If you can win 7, why can't you win 8? Yeah. And there you see BYU picked way down there. Can they really finish on the other side 13th. And get to the postseason?
Yeah, can they get over onto the left side
yeah.
and be in that top 8? As you mentioned, got to stay healthy, but they are deeper. They are more experienced. And I could go back and show you film of games last year, and there's 3 games that got decided early by 4 or 5 plays. BYU made bad plays and didn't take care of the ball at critical times last season. They're more experienced. They should clean up some of that and win a couple of those. That's my opinion, sir.
Here's our question of the day. We would love for you to contribute here. What makes you confident that BYU football will finish in the top 10 in the Big 12 this season, and a top 10 finish we project to get to right. the postseason? Cougar Stats on X says, I think the high level of parity in the conference allows there to be a wide range of where BYU can finish this year. There'll likely be several one-score games, and if BYU can win most of them, they'll have a successful season.
Hey, Cougar Stats, thanks. That's exactly what I was just saying. 3 or 4 games where you make 1 or 2 more plays, and you win. I love it.
All right. Continue to weigh in using the hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Let's get a lot of your opinions. We'll share as many as we can on today's show.
Absolutely. Hey, and join us tomorrow night for After Further Review. Dave Nixon will join Dave and me as we continue our player profiles. Tomorrow, we've got Keanu Hill, his transformation from receiver to tight end. AFR starts at 7 Eastern Tuesday night on BYU, the BYU TV app.
Looking forward to that. Coming up, LJ Martin. How's he feeling? Will he be ready for the season opener? Well, let's ask him. This is BYU Sports Nation.
He's LJ Martin. He's been their leader.
Ripping through the defense. Martin still on his feet. Bouncing it to the outside. It's going to be a touchdown. 29 yards for LJ Martin.
Live here in Studio B, Dave McCann, Blaine Fowler. Start of Education Week on campus. It feels like that's why we're here. So I feel like that's the reason
we're here. Are we usually here during Education Week?
No, but it just feels like it today. Like we're participating.
You know what it feels like? It feels like it's hard to find a parking place on campus during Education
that
Week.
Is
that's
true.
What it feels like.
That is true. LJ Martin's feeling better. He caught up with BYU TV's Spencer Linton after practice. A lot of questions coming into the fall after getting banged up in the spring is, would he be ready for Southern Illinois? Let's find out that and much more with Spencer.
LJ, we're essentially 2 weeks away from the first game of the season. So when I throw out 14-ish days before game number one, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Excitement. You know, we've been waiting all year for this. It's probably been about 9 months, you know, since the last time we played. So we're just excited to get back on the field.
How did the finish of last season impact your offseason?
The finish of last season, it just shows, like, you know, not every game's given to you. You know, you really got to go out there and take it. So, you know, just trying to implement that throughout the offseason, just knowing that, you know, no matter what, nothing's going to be given to us. There's no easy games on the schedule, and you got to go out there and take it. You got to go out there and win. They're not just going to hand it over to you.
With roughly 2 weeks of practice remaining before the first game and focusing on 2, what do you think are the 2 things that BYU football needs to shore up to be ready for that first game?
2 things. I think it's just, like Coach Carlisle always says, is discipline and just knowing your assignment. So, like, you know, just knowing where you need to be at the right time and just making sure our penalties are at a minimum. And if we can do those 2 things, I can't see why we can't win every game.
You've got a firsthand look at just how improved that offensive line is. So what are some of the differences that you are seeing running behind this year's line compared to last?
Yeah, I could see the intensity really going up, and I could just see them, like, getting to the combos quicker, and, you know, they're just moving better together as a unit overall. And, you know, last year's O-line was pretty good, but I feel like they just took it to another level, just preparing for the weight room and the offseason and stuff like that. I feel like they're just really ready to go after it and get it this year.
How are you a different running back from this point last year to where we are now?
I try to get faster, and I mean, I feel like I got faster, but you know, we're gonna have to wait till game ones to see if it's actually true. But yeah, I feel like I got faster. I feel like I'm moving better, trying to get, I have more explosive cuts now and stuff like that. So I feel like I'll look more improved.
You've been cleared for full contact. What did you feel when you got that news?
I felt really excited, you know. Yeah, I mean, I was expecting it, and that's what they told me it was going to be, so yeah.
I think everyone wants to know what the secret is to get on the accelerated healing timeline, because it doesn't always work that way, but you're ahead of schedule. So, like, what have you been doing to try and expedite this process?
You know, just getting in the weight room every day, and, I mean, getting with my physical therapist guy, just going in every day, just talking to him, seeing if he got anything extra, and just staying on top of it, and just, you know, just praying and just knowing that, I mean, I just always expected the best, and luckily the best came, and I can only thank God for that.
LJ Martin is with us on BYU Sports Nation. How would you explain the culture and the feeling of the running backs room right now?
It's just really fun. You know, we're just all out there together, and we're just always having fun, just doing whatever. I mean, it's just the room of guys, you know, just having fun.
Well, Jack Kelly told us that he plays Call of Duty with Isaiah Glasker and some of the other linebackers. So what do the running backs do to decompress a little bit?
Usually we're up there in the meeting room, and while we're not meeting, we're doing mini hoop basketball and stuff like that. We have little games, and you know, sometimes we'll go out together, play pickleball, or you know, just go out and eat. But then yeah, so yeah.
You play pickleball?
I don't play pickleball. The other guys do. The other guys are really good. Sione Moa, he's like the best pickleball player I've ever seen. And yeah, so I went to go play with him and his girlfriend. It was me, Pokai, versus him and his girlfriend, and yeah, he did it to us, but yeah.
Okay, so you got some work to do in the pickleball arena.
Yes, I'm still trying to improve.
Okay, hey, so this is your attitude. You're just always looking to improve. As an offense, where do you feel like under Aaron Roderick this team has improved the most from November last year to where we are in August?
I feel like, you know, just our intensity and just what we're trying to accomplish. I feel like everyone has a better idea of what we're trying to accomplish now, you know, just being out there every day trying to get things done and just in an efficient manner and just trying to give it all we can every play.
All right. I would like you to break down some of the running backs in your room right now, just with a couple of words. So when I say Hinkley Rapati, what comes to mind?
I would say probably Hercules. I mean, just like, I mean, if you, I don't know, just the best teammate ever, you know. I feel like he's just a really genuine dude, just, you know, always trying to take people under his wing, trying to teach people the most. And, you know, I learned a lot from him, and I'm thankful for that. So, you know, he's my guy, you know, the best teammate ever.
And I say Miles Davis, what pops into your mind?
Again, the best teammate ever. I mean, those two guys, like, when I first got here, they've been my guy. I feel like they've been my number one fans, always supporting me and stuff, you know, so I'm really thankful for that. And, you know, they've been really putting in the work this offseason. They just kind of been setting the example for me to show me how it's done and stuff like that. So I've just been trying to follow their lead.
Okay, and who else in the running backs room has surprised in a good way?
All of them. I mean, you know, it's difficult coming from high school and, you know, just getting out here and making plays. But, you know, just seeing them from spring to now, you know, all of them have been making plays this fall camp. From Jovessa to Pokai to Sione Moa, I mean, they all just been making plays, and, you know, you just seen the improvement over time. So, you know, it's not really a surprise. I've seen the work that they put in, but it's, you know, it's good to see them out there thriving.
You mentioned coming out of high school and being thrown right into the fire and the nerves that go along with that. How are you different mentally in that aspect this year?
Yeah, I feel like I'm more polished and I understand the game a little bit more, so I know what I'm looking for and things like that. You know, last year I was just kind of trying to learn on the fly. You know, I couldn't even tell you what defense it was or what blitz they were bringing. I was just kind of reactive. But now I feel like I have a better idea of things and I understand what everyone else is doing around me, so I'm able to, you know, kind of predict what's going to happen.
How are the nerves overall now that you don't feel like a freshman anymore?
It's just like last year, to be honest. You know, I'm always nervous for the first game, you know, just because you get out there and, I mean, it's a different year. You know, everyone's been working and you just hope your preparation, you've just been out preparing the next guy. And that's something I've been trying to do. So, and if that's true, you know, it'll show up game one. And if not, I mean, just going to have to get back in the leg after that game and, you know, just go back to work.
LJ Martin, BYU running back, is on BYU Sports Nation. I know that there was a big question mark if you were going to be available and ready for game number one. Do you feel like you're going to be 100% ready to go on August 31st?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I feel fine. I mean, I've been feeling fine since the beginning of camp. You know, Terrence Motley, my physical therapy guy, Colby, Sky, they've all been getting me right, just working with me, and I'm thankful for them. The best in the nation.
Okay, some quick hitters to finish up, specific to the running backs. Who's the loudest guy in that room?
I would say it's Pokai Haunga, just because, I mean, if you were to sit in our meeting room, you'd just be able to see it. He always has something to say, but yeah, he's fun to be around.
Who's the swaggiest in that room?
Swaggiest, I would probably say Miles. You know, he's always got something on. I mean, once you guys should see him out of this place, he always got something on. I mean, he got the Gucci, the Jordans, he got everything. I mean, I'm trying to be like that guy. That's who I'd be trying to model after.
Who eats the most?
Eats the most? Ooh, I'm not sure. I would say, to be honest, I'm not trying to put him on blast, but it might be Coach Harvey. Because, you know, I mean, shoot, there have been times where I just see him throwing down and stuff, you know. But, yeah, I would say it's between him, maybe me, and Sione. It's probably one of us, so, yeah.
You can put him on blast, LJ. It's all good, man.
I don't know how happy he's going to be with me. You know, he might try to make me run, like, 50 extra gases, so, you know. So, yeah.
We'll just make sure that he doesn't see this.
Yeah, that sounds good. That's good with me. That's good with me.
All right, LJ, we're going to give you some BYU Sports Nation karma to have a great season. We appreciate you spending some time with us, and so glad you're feeling better.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys.
Spencer, thank you. We've had a chance to spend a lot of time with LJ.
Yeah.
The difference between a sophomore year and a freshman year, he told us the story. He's in the game, didn't expect to really be playing, and they changed the play call, and he's standing next to Keaton Slovis, and he's like, Keaton! Which way do
Where
I go?
Where do I go?
And Keaton's like, you know, he's quarterbacking the whole thing. And he's like, oh, yeah, it's okay. You just go this way. You just go this way.
Yeah. One of the things he mentioned in that interview with Spencer was, I worked on my speed in the offseason. I feel like I'm faster, but we'll find out when I get out on the field in an actual game. But I think it's partly, yeah, he's worked on his speed, so he's more explosive. But it's also exactly what you're talking about. You can't play fast unless you know exactly what you're doing. Just has to, the play he's called, you shouldn't even have to think about it.
Yeah.
You just react, and then you go make a play off of the defense. That will be the biggest difference to me for L.J. Martin between last season and this season. His comfort in the offense will allow him to play free and loose and just go out and make plays. So he'll look faster whether he is or not.
Looking forward to seeing him on the 31st or against SMU, but we're going to see a lot of him either way.
And I like all these running backs. You know, that the three-headed monster that are all kind of change-ups, it'll be good. So, hey, if you miss any of our BYU football fall camp coverage, you can always find it on demand at BYU Sports Nation YouTube page and on BYUSN.com.
A lot of Cougars making plays in the NFL, but which one had the best weekend? We'll discuss as we continue. BYU Sports Nation.
The BYU Store. Official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Studio B on this Monday. I'm Dave. He's Blaine. As part of our celebration of a 100th season of BYU football, we've been doing these trivia questions. Our producer, Colton, has come up with a good one today. He's going to ask us, participate with us at home, and we'll see if we can get the answer.
He didn't tell you, right? He never tells us.
Yes.
So this is to see if he can stump us.
All right, Colton, what do you got?
So far, he hasn't stumped me.
All right, today's question. BYU has four tight ends with 1,000-yard receiving seasons. Only one of these players did it twice. Who was it?
Four tight ends, 1,000-yard receiving seasons.
I have an idea of who I think it is. But
yeah, who do you going with?
I think it's going to be Chris Smith.
I was going to think Chris Smith, too.
It's either Chris Smith or Gordon Hudson. I'm going to say Chris.
Chris had the bonus of being with Ty and being his favorite target. Gordon Hudson was right there.
Yeah.
What about Harleen? Did he go back to back?
No, I don't think he did. So I'm gonna say Chris Smith.
What about Pitta? No back to backs for Pitta?
I don't.
All right.
Okay.
Let's go.
Our final answer is Chris Smith, but our 1B is Gordon Hudson. But we're gonna say Chris Smith.
It is Chris Smith.
Yes.
Right, nice
Gordon
job.
Hudson,
still undefeated
fact,
against
never Gordon. Hit 1,000 yards in one season.
Is that right?
He got hurt.
The All-American Gordon Hudson.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Hey, let's Colton, I'm still undefeated against Colton.
That's nice.
I don't know if I'm against him. I'm just undefeated in answering his questions.
It feels like you're against him.
No, I'm not against him. I'm always
a healthy competition.
I'm always with our producer. He keeps us going.
Let's do some headlines.
Yes, let's do it. First one, BYU football wrapped up week 3 of fall camp over the weekend with an open practice to media on Friday and a closed scrimmage on Saturday. The team announced offensive lineman Joe Brown is out for the season with an ACL injury that he sustained before fall camp, so he hasn't been part of fall camp at all. And after Friday's practice, defensive coordinator Jay Hill spoke to the media. He shared where he believes BYU defense can still improve the most.
I still think we are trying to be so assignment sound right now that we're not necessarily learning when to cut loose. That comes from experience. It also comes from film study and also comfort in the defense. And that's where I think we can still take the biggest step forward, is just letting it rip, cutting loose, and just going to make them plays.
You know, when it's 1,000 degrees, you want to wear a black hat and a black shirt.
Hey, I told you, I was talking about this on the show a couple weeks ago. He was getting on the defensive players for kind of going back a few steps to the ones that weren't in and getting in the shade of the tree.
Yeah, he doesn't like
that. He said, his quote was, "There's no shade trees in the stadium at SMU. No. It's going to be hot out there. Get out in the sun and get acclimated."
Yeah.
So he's just sitting, and you know what? We're all black.
He's not messing around. Special teams coordinator Kelly Papinga also spoke to the media about the position battles taking place in the kicking game, specifically the punter and the long snapper.
Good competition going on right now at punter between Sam and Landon, and then really good competition going on at snapper as well between Dalton and Cannon. But all four of those guys, I'd be very comfortable with any of those guys in the game. So it's going to go down to next Wednesday. We'll have our last practice before we get into our prep with Southern Illinois, and we'll name a starter after that.
Papinga also mentioned kicker Will Farron lights out in camp, 27 of 28 so far on field goals. That's good.
Think about it. Last season, did we ever talk about the kicker, Will Farron? We never said a word just because he just made everything.
Yeah.
Like, when BYU lines up to kick the ball last season, or when they did, you expected them to make it. And we haven't really talked about him in fall camp because all he does is make kicks. Let's not talk about him.
When he's a topic, something's going on.
And let him just keep making kicks. He's one of my favorites because he's a Davis High guy, right? So the Davis Dart, Will Farron. He'll be one of the best kickers.
Let's talk about these guys. These guys we will talk
about. Yeah, Cougars in the NFL preseason. Let's go. Jaron Hall, 4 of 5, 87 yards and a touchdown in the Vikings win over the Browns. Zach Wilson didn't play as much as he did last week. Was 2 of 6, 29 yards and a touchdown for the Broncos. How about Keaton Slovis?
Yeah.
He's been turning some heads in fall camp. 8 of 11, 79 yards for the Colts. Taysom Hill, as we mentioned, playing fullback, 5 carries for 21 yards and a touchdown. And his teammate, Jamal Williams, 5 carries for 32 yards for the Saints.
Where do you draft Taysom Hill in your fantasy lineup? What's he going to be listed as? A fullback, a tight end, a quarterback?
He's got to be utility. He's the utility guy. Something you can like just that. Put him in for anything.
All right, Chris Brooks, 63 yards for the Dolphins, a 59-yard run. Aiden Robbins, 17 yards for the Browns. Max Tooley played well, 5 tackles, forced a fumble. He's got a shot with the Texans. Michael Davis getting some early action for the Commanders. Caleb Hayes had a tackle for the Broncos. And Ryan Rico, watch Ryan Rico. 6 punts, an average of 46.2 yards for the Bengals. He's got a shot to make that team as good as anybody.
And we've noticed nobody else is punting for them. Like right now, he's their
guy.
Just him. And I think he's going to be their guy. And you watch. Once he establishes himself, he's going to be the next Lee Johnson for many, many years in the NFL. Ryan Rico, way to go. Hey, BYU women's volleyball is ranked number 16 in the preseason ABCA poll that was released early this morning. Heather Olmstead's team plays Southern Utah on Wednesday in an exhibition match before opening the season against Southeastern Louisiana on August 30th. So volleyball team ready to roll again. Are they ever ranked out of the top 16?
No, never. They don't seem to be. Current and former BYU golfers busy at the Utah Open over the weekend at Riverside Country Club. Patrick Fishburne finished the runner-up, shot 17 under. Zach Jones, Cole Ponich, and Cooper Jones all finished in the top 10. We hope they all repair their divots.
Because we and I got to go play there.
We don't want to deal with it.
We got to go play there.
Here are today's headlines. That was for the headlines. Now let's whip it.
Yeah, let's whip it. Who has been the biggest pleasant surprise on offense and defense for BYU so far in fall camp? That's my first question for you in this Whip It session.
Well, I'm going to go Gary Bohannon at quarterback because he's a much different Gary Bohannon than we saw in the spring. You talked about it a moment ago. Shoulders feeling better. He's throwing better. Aaron Roderick said he's night and day from spring practice. Been a long time since he's been in a game after that shoulder surgery. So I like where Gary Bohannon is. And Blake Mangelson is in the middle now on that defensive line, and he's turning heads. That's an area of concern, right? Not being able to stop the run last year. Blake Mangelson, I think, has had an awesome fall camp.
Nobody's talked about Blake Mangelson. Yeah. There's been a lot of talk about the quarterbacks. The surprise is that he's healthy, right? That your guy. I really like this Blake Mangelson pick. I think he's going to be a star at defensive tackle, so I love those. Here's my two.
Okay.
I'm going to give a name that I mentioned maybe on a show at some point in the last couple weeks, just a rising star, Tanner Wall at safety. Did any of us even utter those two words, Tanner Wall, in the summer when we were talking about safeties for BYU?
No.
He has just been knocking people around out there. He came back bigger, stronger, faster, understands the defense. He has been the guy that has had maybe the big hit in 9 out of 10 practices in the fall where he's just coming up and lowering the boom. Big physical safety. My other guy is Ethan Erickson at tight end.
Okay.
We've talked a little bit about him. He hasn't gotten much pub. He is quietly having a very solid fall. I expect Erickson to be a big contributor come this fall, and I think he's had a great fall camp.
NFL cuts come August 27th, so which quarterback has the best chance of sticking to their respective rosters? Zach Wilson, Jaren Hall, or Keaton Slovis?
I'm going to say Zach Wilson, and here's why. It's the financials of this.
Yeah.
So they got him, they traded for him, they brought him in. Remember, the Jets are picking up the bulk of his salary. Backup quarterback in the NFL, I know these are crazy numbers, but to only have to pay about $1 million for him, like, he's going to be on the roster. He's going to be the backup guy there because he's basically costing him nothing. He's a free guy, and he has experience. So to me, Zach Wilson is the guy that's just mark him down. But the other two are playing great. I think they're going to all find themselves on the roster. Slovis may be a practice squad guy because they have three other guys.
Yeah.
But all three may be on the team before it's all said and done.
Did you see Mahomes over the weekend?
Yeah. What was that? What was that around the back thing?
He threw it behind the back pass.
It was crazy. So let's ask this then. He threw the behind the back pass. In your opinion, what's the best trick play in BYU history in your mind?
I'm going to go to 1983. I'm going to go to the Holiday Bowl, end of the game against Missouri at East Dinette. Watch what happens here. Young gives him the ball, and then Stinnett gives it back to Young. Here's the game-winning touchdown. That wins the game on that trick play. I was making fruit baskets in the Albertsons produce section while this was going on, listening on the radio to Paul James.
That was an awesome
What's
play.
Yours?
Eddie Stinnett to Steve Young. Well, mine is, I don't know if it's the best trick play ever. It's the most memorable for me, and it got the season started off. Yep,
that's
this
you.
Is me. That's me getting smacked by Chris Dolman. It's the opening offensive play against Pitt, ranked number 2 and number 3 in the two polls. We come out, and we surprise them on the first play of the game. I line up at halfback instead of quarterback, and I find Glenn, because you see me get smacked right there?
Yeah, but Glenn thought you laid him out a little too far.
Yeah, Glenn's like, you threw it too deep. I said, you get hit by Chris Dolman in the face and don't throw it a little bit deep. So I don't know if it's one of the best, but it's my favorite.
Classic plays.
It's
I like
my
that
favorite.
One too. That's the one that started it all, won the national championship. Coming up, she's back home from the Olympics. And in our studio, we'll sit down with the great Diljit Taylor as cross country gets ready to defend their Big 12 championship. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to Sports Nation. Dave McCann, Blaine Fowler. In our last segment, what we didn't hear was all rise because we thought when we have royalty come into the room.
That's right. When Diljit walked in, if we would have known,
we would have just got up right in the middle
in,
of the segment.
Diljit we would have stood
Taylor
up at the desk
is with us
to pay respects.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, seriously, how was Paris? How was the Olympics?
It was magical. And I think that's the word that even as my women have been being interviewed, just coming back, that's the one word that just kind of embodies the feeling of being there, not just at Stade de France and at track, but just some of the other events too. And watching my own women's dreams come true, but also watching Team USA and some of our men also compete, just all around special.
There were so many BYU athletes, so ties to BYU in the Olympic Games this year that we all had fun watching, but we didn't get to be there like you did. How proud were you to be there, as you mentioned, watching the men, the women? There were so many represented this year.
Yeah, it felt a lot like home field advantage, you know, just whenever we travel nationally, we feel like BYU travels really well. And it was no different at this Olympics because you had a ton of fans, family members traveled all across the world. And yeah, just almost in every event, we feel like there was some recognition of BYU or a Utah tie, people that have moved here to train professionally. It was really special.
And there were a few church stops. We saw pictures of your athletes speaking to youth groups, and it just looked like, it looked like you weren't very far away.
Yeah, our women pre-recorded for their devotional because the the meeting was actually held on the day of, I think it was the steeplechase final. Yeah. And so there was a lot going on. I almost feel like I had 9 experiences all in one, but just one that I will remember. It will become a core memory.
This is a hard question to ask you, but I'm going to ask it anyhow. It's like, because there were so many great performances, PRs from BYU connected athletes. Is there one performance over there where you just go, wow, that was so above and beyond. That was crazy. Is there a best?
You know, for me, just I have to say what Whitney Orton did, being ranked where she was ranked internationally, and then to go and make a final and then to get a 9-second PR. But I can't. I want to respect my women and what they did. I think that was just excellent. But Kenny Rooks, that was chills all around for what he did, and then the way he did it in just such a gutsy fashion, just really dominant effort. So super excited for Kenny and Ed. I think, you know, super hard to, one, become an Olympian, two, to make a final at the Olympics, and then three, to get a medal. And so for him to be able to, in his first Olympic experience, accomplish all three of those things, just, yeah.
Just crazy. And your athletes are young athletes. They're still progressing. And
yeah,
better,
we're excited, right? For LA 2028. Yeah. That will be really fun.
That is good stuff.
In the big picture of it all, what does it mean for your track office and the facility here at BYU when you come back from the world stage and people say BYU steeplechase you now, and there's all those things? What's the feedback coming back?
Oh, I think it's great. It gives us a source of just, it's a privilege, right? Pressure is a privilege. And so this idea that, well, for one, people need to understand that, like, you don't just come to BYU and become an Olympian, because I feel like it was being handed out, right? It's like, you're an Olympian and you're an Olympian and you're an Olympian.
Yeah.
It's super hard, but it's possible. And that's what our office has shown and our teams have shown and our athletes have shown, is the dream is possible. And so I think that's really inspiring for future generations. And one of my goals as a coach is always to stay true and be really intentional about making sure that we're doing things in an inspiring fashion. And nothing gave birth to dreams more than having our contingency of BYU athletes as Olympians.
Great.
It's so cool. Yeah, you know, it's been quite a year. So it starts with the Big 12 championship. That's BYU's first Big 12 right. championship in yep. any sport. Yeah. So you guys kind of...
It was our goal. It was like, first year in, get the win.
You guys
that was what we said. And now I don't know what the saying this year is going to be.
What rhymes with second year?
Second year in, like, we're defend.
Like, so you win a championship and then top 5 ranking. That's also really, really special, right? And then you go to the Olympics. You mentioned, you know, so many BYU athletes, and you personally were coaching Whitney and Courtney there as their personal coach, also extension of BYU, right? Where do you, like, that's the question. Where do you go from here? That's a pretty amazing first year.
Yeah.
Do you top it? Do you stay? What do you have to do? What's the goal now?
The joke is I kind of peaked this summer, you guys. Like, I peaked in summer of 2024. You just build off of it. And I think not having a goal just, like, raises the ceiling. There's no limit to what we're trying to do in our program. It's just come in and let's see what's possible.
So what makes perfect sense for us to begin training camp for your title defense is to take your athletes to Alaska.
I know.
What's that all about?
I don't know.
What's up?
You know, I love creating and curating these experiences that are memories that will last for a lifetime. And so we did Hawaii a couple years ago, and I think it's going to be a really good team building experience. Just go to Alaska, and we'll do a devotional there on Wednesday. We don't visit Alaska very often, so the members of the church are super excited
sure.
that this cross-country team is coming out. There's a ton of runners, youth runners, that are really engaged in cross-country. And we'll run some trails, stay away from bears.
You're going to go on a bear hunt?
Yeah,
or fish the salmon?
Maybe see a glacier.
Know the protocol, because some bears you can't outrun no matter how fast you are.
I know. They have told us that if we stay in a group of 25 to 30, which we will be in, we should be okay.
You'll be all right from the bears.
Yeah. Good safety tip.
It's good to know.
The makeup of this team for the fall. I have a sneaking suspicion you like the makeup of this team. What do we have to look forward to, and what are you looking forward to with this squad this fall?
I've got some really good experience coming back, and these are women who knew what it felt like to be at the bottom of the team and have worked their way up to the top. So they're going to be able to relate to the athletes that are just coming in, but also they've risen to being what we, you know, what we take pride in, which is being really nationally relevant. And so I'm going to lean on the expertise and experience of those team captains. And I on paper, we look really good. And I'll see how we really look here in a week.
Speaking of paper, and typically before someone has a movie made about themselves, they have a book. And so, you need a book. No, you have a book. You've got a book out called Believe in Her. So now you're an author, a published author. Tell us about this book.
I really act on inspiration. Like, I'm at BYU because I felt inspired when I came for my interview to be here. And I felt that same inspiration at the end of 2023 and just, hey, you should write a book. And I've had that feeling before, and I've always been able to just, but this nudge was different this time. And so I thought, okay, I'm just going to do it. And it's stuff that I've learned throughout the years and just building and cultivating confidence in young girls. It's really written. The intended audience is mostly dads, but also anyone that is in a leadership role in a young girl's life to understand, you know, in these kind of transformational years of their life, how we can be allies for them and understand the confidence struggles that just exist because of biological, cultural, societal, and just the things that we can do to help them dream a little bigger.
So you wrote a book for us.
Yeah. Yes. The name of the title of the book is Believe in Her.
Right? Yeah.
So my wife has it on her nightstand. I said, what are you reading? She goes, hun, you, Diljit wrote this. Like, you're next on this book. You have to read this. You're a girl dad and you're a girl grandpa. You have to read this book. I said, it's on. I'm next. I got next. Okay. So hopefully, and it's not a terribly long read, right?
You can read it in an hour.
You can read the whole book in an hour?
Yeah. Okay. 8 chapters.
Yeah.
Super easy.
So I got next. I'll be reading.
Okay.
I'll be reading
let
it
me
this
know.
Week.
Like,
you can quiz us on the book.
I couldn't
next
pry it from
together.
Her hands last night, so I got next. But I'm looking forward to reading it and being a better girl dad and a girl grandpa. Right?
Well, and I think I've spent the last 20 years now, which I'm aging myself, but I've been coaching women for, you know, 2 decades. And the power of what I've been able to accomplish has been really simple. It's really not the X's and O's. I found a way to believe in my women, and what they've been able to accomplish with that real belief has just been eye-opening for me. And the reason why I have the platform that I have and the success that I've been lucky enough to have is not because of me, guys. It's my women. And so I know that the magic lies in figuring out how to believe in them.
We've interviewed a lot of your women. And they say a lot of it is about you.
Well, yeah, and it helps me become confident.
Sure.
People look at me and they're like, how have you become such a confident coach? It's like, well, guys, I've spent the last 20 years building confidence in young women. And as a kind of ripple effect, it's come back and done the same thing for me. So, what I can promise is you're going to see women on the line that believe in themselves and they believe in each other and they also believe in me, which when you have those three things, magic happens.
Hey, we're proud
looking
of
forward
you.
Looking forward to some magic.
Will you send us some Alaska pictures?
I will send you some Alaska pictures.
We'll post them. So.
It's cold and rainy, so it's a little bit. Well, actually, we've had a lot of rain here too.
Yeah.
Learn some toughness up in the cold and rain.
Yeah, it'll be good.
So.
Diljit Taylor, cross country coach. Best of luck this fall.
Thanks so much.
Thank
looking
you so
forward
much, you guys.
To greatness again this fall.
Should be fun.
Hey, BYU women's soccer is back in action Thursday night. In a top 15 showdown at St. Louis, third-ranked Cougars take on the 12th-ranked Billikens at 8 Eastern on ESPN+.
Every women's sport on campus is in the top 20. Is that just a thing?
It's women's sports. Having
I love it. I
the
love
movement.
It.
Coming up, our Monday Elite Voice of the Day as we kick off the big week here on campus. BYU Sports Nation continues after this.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Can't blame Fowler, Diljit Taylor. Phenomenal interview.
Oh,
good
so
to have
good.
Her here.
So good.
Time for our Rise and Shoutout, which is presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics. Today's Rise and Shoutout, though, a bit of a somber one.
Yeah, we want to send our love. It's a shout-out, but our love and condolences to the Beck family, John Beck and his whole family. And they're a BYU family. John's dad, Wendell, ran track here and was a good friend back when I was here. John posted on social media over the weekend about the sudden loss of his younger brother, Andrew. So we send our thoughts and prayers out to the Beck family. If you go to John's social media sites, you can find a link to a GoFundMe account to help out Andrew's. This is a young family. And so we're just heartbroken for John and his family. We wanted to give them a shout out of love.
We do love the Becks. Earlier in the show, we asked our question of the day. What makes you confident that BYU football will finish in the top 10 in the Big 12 this season? Our response, our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. You want to read it?
Yeah, it's from Rowdy in the Rock on X. We got a lot to lose and a lot to gain. Got a chip on our shoulder, and quite frankly, I just have blue goggles. I love it.
Yeah. So everyone should have some blue goggles.
That's what he... You know why they're going to win? Because I have blue goggles. So that's all good. We love it. Thanks
Sounds
for that.
Sounds fantastic. Another one, we've got depth at the skill position, better coaching on the O-line from Caleb Pugh on X. All that's true as well. Thanks to L.J. Martin and Coach Diljit Taylor. What a show today.
So much Monday. Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook.
For Blaine, I'm Dave. A shout out to all those attending Education Week on campus and trying to find an open spot in the Marriott Center parking lot. Good luck. See you tomorrow. Go Cougs.